Avi ends up giving Gayatri a copy of 50 Shades of Grey,
yeah,
which if you're going to gift someone some like literature porn, that would not be my recommendation.
I literally made the note, we could certainly recommend better porn literature.
Yes, DM us if you want those recs. Yeah. It's not 50 Shades.
Definitely not. No, bottom of the list. But if you're into that, that's fine.
But that's not what our podcast is about.
Right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Two White Girls Talk Bollywood. I'm Kim.
And I'm Katie. And we're here to talk about singing and dancing and Bollywood.
Bollywood, yeah. So many, especially in the end number, just all of the Bollywood stars just crammed into like 5 minutes space of time.
Yeah, I legitimately cannot think about that right now. I have to just compartmentalize and push that to the end.
We have
otherwise
to focus.
I will start to cry. Yeah.
We got to focus on the task at hand.
Yes.
We're talking about Bollywood talkies today.
Bombay talkies today.
I know what the movie's called.
Oh, we're going to be punchy. It's going to be fun.
Yay! Because it's also our 75th episode. Hey!
Oh, right! Happy birthday to us.
Happy 75th birthday to our podcast.
Happy anniversary. Happy landmark moment.
Yeah.
Milestone. What do you call it?
Happy.
I don't know.
Happy. I guess it's our 75th movie.
Yes.
And not our 75th episode.
Oh, so we've done more than 75
I think
episodes.
We've maybe done 76 or 77. But anyway, it doesn't matter.
For the sake of our celebration,
yeah,
it's 75.
That's a nice round number to celebrate. But anyway, yeah, let's get back to this movie that is called Bombay Talkies.
Yes, and it is celebrating Hindi language cinema.
Yes.
So very cool.
Yeah.
Our directors, I would say, are really the main stars here.
Yeah.
So there are four films. One is directed by Karan Johar, one by Dipikar Banerjee, one by Zoya Akhtar, and then Anurag Kashyap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, do you want to say, it's kind of hard to talk about it at all. Although, did you enjoy it? Let's just say that.
Yeah, I did enjoy it. I thought each story kind of brought something different,
mm-hmm.
and I liked that about it.
Me too. I did as well, and I kind of liked the different format.
Yeah.
It was refreshing,
yeah.
You know, because you're only watching these, like, 30-minute stories, it doesn't ever feel like it drags on.
Right.
Yeah, I think I have some thoughts on, like, the Bollywood connection, which is supposed to be the connecting theme between everything.
Mm-hmm.
But we can talk about that at the end.
Right. Yeah, I definitely have more thoughts, but I think I'll save them for as we make our way through the recap and then, yeah, at the end.
Okay. But yeah, so we start with Karan Johar's story, Ajeeb Dastan Hai Ye. And this stars Rani Mukherjee as Gayatri, Randeep Hooda as Dave, and Saqib Saleem as Avi. Who's really cute, by the way.
Saqib Saleem is?
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, Randeep Hooda is also cute.
No,
so is
yeah.
Ronnie. Everyone's great.
Everyone's very attractive in this opening short film.
And that's all that matters. It's not. It's not at all. But so we start off in this opening segment with a young man named Avi storming into a house, pushing past a woman who tries to stop him. Avi goes to where his father is lying on the bed and he pulls him up, then yells at him that he is not a eunuch, he is homosexual, and though there is nothing wrong with being either of those things, his father should know the difference as a professor. And he, like, storms out of his parents' house.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very abrupt start.
Yeah, and I kept thinking that it was going to come back in some kind of way, and I guess...
Yeah.
I guess it sort of does, but...
In a way.
Yeah.
Yes. But so, yep, there's that. We see that Avi gets his own apartment. He's left his family's home. And we also see a married couple get out of bed and get ready for the day. Randeep and Rani playing Dave and Gayatri.
Mm-hmm.
Important to note that there's a very intentional space and distance between them.
Yes.
Gayatri goes into work at a newspaper where she makes eyes at one of her coworkers.
Mm-hmm.
And coincidentally, obvious here too, working as an intern.
Yeah.
And he sees that happen, so he uses it to strike up a conversation with Gayatri, and she's his boss, so he's trying to get, like, a good word in to get a permanent job after his internship is over, and he tells her right away that he's gay, and then he's disappointed by her lack of reaction.
Yeah. I do... Avi is annoying. Like, I don't...
Yes, he's a lot.
I don't like Avi as a person, which I was kind of expecting that I would... He's yeah. not very professional, I would say. I think if I were his boss, I would not appreciate some of the ways that he was talking to me.
Yes.
Like, he's, like, basically coming on to her, and then he's like, oh, no, don't worry, I'm gay. And it's like, well, that doesn't mean that you can hit on me.
Say those things. Yeah. Yeah, I think my brain got hung up on, like, the trauma of why he would be leading with, like, I'm gay.
It, but he does all that before he says he's gay. Like...
I know. No, I agree with you. I think my brain was just like, oh, I'm only focusing on that and, like, disregarding the rest of it. But I think you're right. It's important to be like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. But she likes it. She likes him.
Yeah.
And we see Gayatri laughing with Avi in direct contrast to an awkward dinner with her husband, Dave. Mm-hmm. Just want to say also, Rondi Puda can, like, change his appearance.
Yeah, he is one of those kind of chameleon actors. Yeah,
his facial features are, I wouldn't say completely unique, but, like, interesting enough.
Right. Yeah.
And yet he can look so different. Yeah, role to role.
He really can. Very, yeah, it, I think that says a lot about his, you know, the way that he can carry himself as a performer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just, you know, yeah, have to mention because he's my guy.
We love him. Yep.
But at one point, Avi tells Gayatri that if a man is a fan of Sridevi, he must be gay. Which, by the way, for any hetero men out there, you can be a fan of Sridevi. I know I'm a cishet white woman saying that, but come on.
I do agree. I do. I thought it was funny that it was like that in comparison to, like, you know, straight men like Madhuri Dixit.
Right.
Gay men like Sridevi. Like, that's, you know, and I agree. Like, anybody can like whoever they, like, that doesn't need to be an indicator of anything. But that was also a funny kind of, like, I wonder if that is, like, a cultural thing of, like, doesn't he say that Sridevi's, like, pure camp or something? And
yes.
I was like, oh,
yeah,
okay.
So it's like, all, yeah. Yeah. Well, and it is funny because then Gayatri ends up introducing Avi to a handsome coworker, saying he's a big fan of Sridevi.
Mm-hmm.
wink. And so Gayatri ends up inviting Avi over for dinner because it's his birthday. And Dave is first shocked that she's invited a male friend over, then is even more shocked to learn that this male friend is gay.
Mm-hmm.
And at dinner, there's a moment of tension between Gayatri and Dave. And Avi says, I think you're going to fight, but that's good because makeup sex is the best. Again, a comment that doesn't need to be said.
No, yeah.
And then Gayatri scoffs and says pointedly, like, makeup sex.
So which... That doesn't help.
There's just... Yeah, there's, like, a lot going on.
Yep. Yeah, a lot of tension.
And it's like, maybe those conversations should be had between the two of you.
Yeah.
And not with your, like...
Not in front of your
really
coworker.
Young coworker. Avi then accuses Dave of not looking at him. But that then leads into a discussion of classic Bollywood music, which it turns out they both enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
After dinner, Dave brings Avi to his music room to look through all of his records. And Dave tells Avi that music helps take away his loneliness.
Yeah.
Which is sad. And I feel like, yeah, Avi is definitely picking up on some things.
For sure.
Here.
Yeah. Maybe Dave also likes Sridevi. Who knows?
Yeah. And there's a moment where Avi kind of leans over Dave's shoulder to, like, reach for something, and it is filled with tension.
But now the good kind.
Now the good kind, yes. The kind that makes you
yes.
catch your breath.
Yes.
Yes. At work, Gayatri reveals to Avi that she and Dave have sex only once or twice a month. Mind you, she only reveals that because Avi asked.
Right.
And Avi then goes to visit Dave while Gayatri is away, and he invites Dave out with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he brings Dave to a girl who sings for change, and she sings, and her song definitely, like, we see it have an emotional impact on Dave.
Yeah.
The next day, Gayatri tells Avi that she doesn't know why, but Dave was in a great mood last night, and they even had sex.
Wow.
That's awesome. And this hits Avi hard, and he goes to visit Dave at work. Mm-hmm. And he invites Dave out to lunch with him, but Dave refuses, telling Avi to leave because he needs to do his work. And then Avi leans in and kisses Dave on the neck.
Yeah.
And Dave pushes him away, which I think is a fair response in this moment.
They're in front of his, all of his coworkers. I mean, several of his coworkers are there.
Yeah.
Like, this is happening right in front of them.
Yes. And then Avi tells Dave to hit him because he finds it sexy. Mm-hmm. And Dave just starts beating him.
Yeah.
And this is just, there's a lot of trauma, I think, on both sides here that's being expressed.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's not great. But Dave's coworkers pull him off of Avi, and security escorts Avi out. Mm-hmm. So then Avi goes home and relives memories of his father beating him for being gay, and he cries. And his face is bruised, and yeah, he's just had a bad day. But then there is a knock at his door, and it's Dave. And he apologizes and tries to look at Avi's bruised face, but Avi asks him to go. Dave ignores him, but ends up pushing him again. That I'm not. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't know. Yeah, that just feels like Dave's repression coming out in violence.
Right, yes, which isn't good, because then he also immediately after pushing Avi again asks him if he's okay. It's a lot of, like, violence and then comforting,
right,
which is a manipulation
tactic.
Yeah. I understand Dave has his own trauma, but yeah. And Avi says, no, he's not okay. He's sad. And then Dave kisses him. Mm-hmm. And when they separate, there's kind of this, like, moment of stillness where it's like, what's going to happen? And I was really hoping it would go one way. Mm-hmm. And it didn't go that way.
It went the other way.
It went the other way. And Dave slaps Avi hard, and Avi shoves him out of his apartment.
Yeah.
So then Avi finds Gayatri at work and interrupts her in a work meeting to tell her, again in front of multiple people, that her husband kissed him. And Gayatri doesn't want to talk to Avi about it. She just kind of goes home after her meeting. And that evening, when Dave gets home from work, he starts kissing Gayatri's neck, trying to initiate sex. Mm-hmm. And Gayatri refuses to let him, like, continue and kiss her mouth. And she pulls away from him and says that all these years she thought she was doing something wrong, but it turns out that they were both living a lie. And she says she feels happy now and she feels free. And she turns to Dave and says, it's over. Mm-hmm. And then this short story ends with Dave going back to the singing girl, who asks for money at the end of her song. He says he has no money, and she accuses him of lying. Earlier on in the story, you know, he'd given her money and said, oh, what are you going to do with it? She said, feed my siblings. He asked, are you lying? And she said, no, lying's bad. And so in this moment, he then echoes the words she said earlier, saying, it's bad to lie, right? Mm-hmm. And then they just sit together.
Yeah.
And that's the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is my least favorite of the
films.
Me too. And I was disappointed in that being the case, because this was, I think, what we were looking forward to the most about watching this movie. And I think if this had been a full-length film, or even like an hour longer, and mm-hmm. we could have really delved more deeply into the trauma and the tensions, maybe it would have been a better piece of cinema. But because it was so short, and I felt like because it was almost more about Gayatri than it was about the two men, it didn't land for me.
Yeah, and you know, I guess I'd be interested to know, like, Karan Johar's goal.
Yeah.
If it's meant to leave you in a kind of bleak place. I can't focus on this woman now being free to live her life the way that is true to her and that will bring her happiness, because I'm too busy focusing on the bleakness of these two gay men's experiences.
Yeah.
And maybe if that's the point, then okay. But it would have been nice to see some sort of, like, resolution of them coming together, not even necessarily as, like, romantic interests or partners, but just in, like, a I see you, we've had similar life experiences and it sucks, and we've harmed ourselves or we've harmed others like us, so, you know, forming some sort of camaraderie from that would have been nice.
Yeah, I think really just if we had left out the violence and if some of the and if the tensions had kind of stewed in some of the same ways, but left out even the manipulation, I think, of that Avi uses against Dave. Like, and I wanted to share, this is a quote from one of the reviews of the film that I read, from Jay Weisberg, writing for Variety. "Considering the dearth of gay characters in Indian cinema, it's unfortunate that Johar turns the initially likable Avinash into a selfish sexual predator whose pursuit of Dave opens a chink in his boss's husband's closet." And then later says of the film that it adds to the perception of gay men as predatory sex fiends who will stab their friends in the back to quote-unquote convert confused heterosexuals. And I thought that was such an interesting read, because again, this reviewer is not saying that that's what they think gay men are, but that this
is the this impression.
Is playing into this dangerous stereotype of Avi being this man who's just like, he's so sexually promiscuous that he's going to like bring everyone down with him.
Right.
And that's a very real fear that homophobic people have about gay people that I don't think needs to be played into anymore by, and I don't think that that was, I certainly don't think that that's what that's what Karan Johar was going for.
No.
But I think because it's a short format and because they were trying to do other things at the same time, it didn't land and it didn't work. And that's what at least this reviewer's takeaway was.
Yeah. And because we don't have the added context that extra time would give us, it's not also, because my read on it is that Avi is the way he is because it's his way of putting, like, pushing away people for, like, okay, they can't hurt me for being gay if right away I'm like, I'm gay, look at me, look at how gay I am. Like, it's like a protection thing.
Right.
But you don't actually see the history of that very well. And then, it's like other movies that we've reviewed where we're just like, okay, there's a lot of violence here that's not fully explored or picked apart.
Yeah.
And if you're going to have this kind of violence, you need to talk about it.
It needs to be clear where it's coming from so that there's not the possible interpretation that it's an okay way to be in a relationship.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, moving on.
Yeah.
Next, we have Dibakar Banerjee's segment, which is called Star. And this stars Nawazuddin Siddiqui.
Yep.
And him, he's familiar to us from Muna Michael.
I thought he gave an amazing performance here.
He did.
I was like, now I feel bad that the only thing I've seen you in is Muna Michael.
Where you're ridiculous.
Yeah.
And also, I would never have said, like, this doesn't matter at all, but I would never have said that he was, like, attractive in Muna Michael.
Well, he's, he's, like, supposed to be like unattractive in Muna Michael.
Right. That's a very good point.
But yeah.
We should give him a try.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah, because I did really like this short story. So we start with a man lying in his bed at night when we see his alarm go off to wake him up. And he's working out and then he's cleaning his terrace. We find out he has a pet emu named Anjali, which is amazing.
I didn't know what it was. I was like, is this a cassowary? What is this?
You know how everyone has a cassowary.
And then I once they started talking about like the eggs and things, I was like, oh, okay, no, that is actually a perfectly normal like bird for people to it's like not the most normal bird for people to own, but it's certainly more normal than a cassowary.
Yes. So Parandar goes to work and he's doing laundry with some laundry women, and then when he comes home, he goes to his daughter's room. And she's kind of, like, grumpy with him. And so he starts doing funny faces to cheer her up, but it doesn't work. So he's like, okay, I'll tell you a Hrithik story. And she's like, I've already heard that. And he's like, okay, a Shah Rukh story. She's like, I've already heard that. And then she says, you don't like me anymore.
Aww.
Yeah. Because I think Dad's busy, you know, trying to work, trying to hustle, make some money.
Yeah.
But on the bus to a job interview, Purandar tries to read a newspaper over a man's shoulder to get news stories to tell his daughter, which I think is very sweet.
Very sweet.
But when he arrives at his destination, he learns that the security job he had wanted to apply for has already been filled. Mm-hmm. As he steps outside of this building, he hears a movie being filmed down the street featuring Ranbir Kapoor.
Yeah.
It's so funny, too, because I was like, is Ranbir Kapoor going to show up? And then when it just showed his back, I was like, oh, they could have gotten just someone, you know, who's a similar size. And then Ranbir Kapoor is at the end. So then I'm like, well, wait, was that Ranbir Kapoor?
You know what's funny is I was looking through the cast because there was a woman in the, like, on the film set who I recognized. And I was like, oh, what is she from?
She was from, she's the cousin in Dildadaknado.
Yeah. And so, but, so I was looking for her and then I was like, oh, Ranbir Kapoor is in the cast list. So he must show up.
Yeah.
But no, not in this moment.
No.
But anyway.
But anyway, Purandar goes to watch this filming, only to end up getting picked out of the crowd by the director to act in a scene.
It's like everyone's dream. I mean, yeah. I don't know if it's everyone's dream, but certainly mine.
Yes. Well, and what's so funny is that literally, like, this is all happening as he's just trying to make conversation with, like, one of the security people. Yeah. And everyone around him is like, me, me, pick me.
Yeah.
Pick number three, my lord. If we don't reference Shrek, is it even an episode?
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
But yeah, they choose him. And he's like, okay, I need my dialogue. I need a quiet space where I can learn it. And so he goes to this quiet space because Ranbir Kapoor needs 10 more minutes before this scene. And he psychs himself up by, like, reciting all of these famous lines of stage acting. And he folds his dialogue to see that he only needs to say one word. Hey.
Hey.
I guess more, it's not like a hey, it's like a hey.
Hey. Yeah, that felt like a real waste of paper in my
Yeah. They didn't have to do that, but, you know, the humor, I guess. They did it for that. And a man appears out of nowhere with his own emu. And it turns out that this is Purandar's, like, teacher / mentor. And this guy's definitely dead?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why he has an emu.
You know what? I don't know why Purandar has an emu, really, when I think about it. I mean, to make money, I guess, is the reason. But there's other ways to do that.
But yeah, so they have this whole conversation basically about, like, how is Purandar going to act this out? Like, you know, he has so many different choices he could make with this one hey. And this is, like, his big break because as a stage actor, he never made it big. And yada, yada, yada. And then this ghost man disappears.
Yep.
And so Purandar goes back onto set and goes to do a scene. He suggests that he's given a newspaper because he's like, well, wait, what's my character's motivation? Why would I bump into this man I can see coming a mile away? I love it. But so they have to do, like, three takes of this scene because Ranbir, I don't know, isn't ready. But Purandar is, like, on it from the get-go. And he does it. He bumps into Ranbir. Ranbir bumps into him. And then he does a casual, like, throwaway, hey. What a choice. It was great.
It was perfect.
And one of the guys on the crew tells him, like, wow, you did great. Stay right here. I'm going to go get your payment for the day. And you should also give me your number so that I can let you know of any future jobs. But when he comes back, Purandar's gone.
Yep.
So he runs home. And it must have been a long way because, like, again, he took a bus to get where he was going. And, like, by the time he gets home, it's dark. But his daughter is still awake. And so he walks in and he's like, guess what I did today? And proceeds to act out the whole thing to the delight of his daughter and his wife. And then we see him go to sleep.
Yeah.
I loved this.
I did too. I really loved this one a lot. Yeah.
Because I really thought we were going to see him be like, oh, great. Okay. I could be a working actor maybe because it seems like his dream had always been to be an actor.
Yep.
But he cares more about entertaining his daughter.
Yeah. His dream has changed.
And it's so sweet. It's like, sometimes it's good to lead a small life.
Right.
Filled with big things, you know? Like,
a big filled with big moments that you get to share with the people you love. Yeah. He goes in, he does it well, and he's like, that's enough for me.
Right. And then it's like, then he puts his acting skills to use entertaining his family.
Yep.
Who are his priority.
Yeah. And he's, you know, clearly, like, in that moment, such a hero to his daughter. Yeah. Like, she is just so invested in this new story that he has to tell her. And it's just really beautiful.
Yeah. I loved it. I was charmed by the whole thing.
I was charmed by it as well. And I did want to make sure to mention that this little story is based on a short story by Satyajit Ray called Patol Babu Film Star.
Ooh.
Yeah. And I read a summary of it, and it sounds like it's pretty true to the film is pretty true to the short story.
Yeah, it was really, it was really cute. Yeah, I was like, I feel like this is going to be my favorite. Gonna be honest, the third one's my favorite.
Mine too, yeah.
Because how could it not be?
How could it not be, yeah.
Our third short story is Sheila Ki Jawani, directed by Zoya Akhtar.
Yay!
Yay! And our hero of this tale is Naman Jain, playing Vicky. Mm-hmm. He was perfection.
Adorable, yes.
Such presence in such a little person. Like, love him. So we start by seeing a bunch of kids being interviewed about what they're going to do when they grow up. Mm-hmm. Which is also very fun because they're, like, all dressed how, like, what they want to be.
Yeah.
Which is cute.
I did also note, though, because it's, like, you know, it's cute because they're little kids, but I was like, this is how 18 to 22-year-olds also think about their jobs.
Yes. Like, yeah.
It's like, well, this is the only thing I know how to do, so this is what I'm going to be when I grow up.
Exactly. And then you stumble into higher education and you're like, this is a thing?
Right. This is a job people have? Oh, cool.
Yeah, so we have this as our intro. And then we get to the meat of the story. Mm-hmm. And we see that there's a soccer match. And a boy named Vicky gets called in to play. But Vicky's just clearly not interested at all in going after the ball. And he just kind of stands there and is like, okay, no one hit me. I'll just stand here. It's fine.
Poor Vicky.
On the drive home, his dad tells him that Vicky's going to start practicing 3 days a week. He's going to get, like, supplemental coaching. And Vicky's like, I don't want to.
No.
And his dad responds that it doesn't matter what he wants. It matters what's good for him. And soccer/football. I'm saying soccer. We're American.
Right.
Sorry.
Football means something else to us.
Yes. His dad says soccer will make him tough. Ugh. So, you know, if you wanted an example of what not to do while parenting.
If you wanted an example of toxic masculinity. Boom. Here it is.
You're welcome. Interesting to note that also in this conversation, Vicky's older sister mentions a school trip that she wants to go on, but her father says that she'll have to go next year because he's already spent the money that would cost on Vicky's coaching that Vicky doesn't even want.
Right. And this is why this story is so good, because it's commenting on gender roles.
Yes.
All around.
Yeah.
All together.
It's like, Vicky's future and Vicky's development is more important than his sister's.
Right.
To the point where, like, she wants to go on this history trip.
Yeah. And something can't. That she actually wants that could, like, actually benefit her and her development as a human.
While Vicky's going to be forced to play a sport he has zero interest in.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep. And when Vicky goes to his first day of coaching, he sees a dance class taking place that he seems very interested in.
Yep, it's Billy Elliot.
It really is. I love Billy Elliot.
Yeah, it's fabulous.
I was watching it and I was like, God, I gotta watch Billy Elliot. It's been a really long time.
So good.
And Vicky tries to play soccer, but he still hates it. And so he tries to talk to his mom about it, but his mom's response is, all boys play soccer. And if your father wants you to play, then you're going to play.
Not ideal, Mom.
No, not great. They then go to the movies. And we see Katrina Kaif do a dance number.
Mm-hmm. I also just, like, whenever we see, like, a theater, a Bollywood theater.
In and movies, people are just dancing.
I want to be here. Why isn't it like this for us?
When you and I went to Pathan and we were the only ones in the theater, we really should have just gotten up and danced.
Just, whistling and, This much better theater vibes than Tallulah. Those theater vibes,
the
not
murder
as
theater.
Fun. Yeah, the theater where like no one makes it out alive. Yeah, not great.
Yeah, yeah. Vicky's totally enchanted by this Katrina Kaif dance number, as mm-hmm. we all are.
Who wouldn't be?
Yes. Yeah. And the next day, some boys come to the door to ask Vicky to play cricket, but he turns them away. Mm-hmm. And what I love is that he's turning them away through his sister. Like,
yeah.
She's the one who answered the door, and she's calling to Vicky. And it's adorable because, yeah, he's busy putting on a dress.
He's busy, yeah.
And he looks in the mirror at himself in this dress, and he smiles. And then he plays really loud music as he, like, dances around. Now he's wearing one of his sister's dresses. Mm-hmm. He's trying on his mother's jewelry. He's putting on his mother's lipstick. And just, like, having such an amazing time.
Yeah.
And his sister's just, like, out making a miniature version of the Taj Mahal.
Yeah, she's just chilling. She's cool.
I love this family. Well.
This, yeah.
I love these kids.
These kids, yeah.
And then Vicky comes strutting out to the music, dressed up in his finery, to show his sister. And she loves it.
Loves it.
Like, genuinely loves it. And I was like, great. This is how it should be.
Yeah.
And then Vicky's parents come home. And his mom smiles when she sees him, too. But his dad slaps him.
Yeah.
And says that he should never do this again, or he'll break every bone in Vicky's body.
Disgusting.
Yeah. And that night, because Vicky and his sister share a room, Vicky's sister says that she thinks that their dad got angry because Vicky was dressed like a girl. Mm-hmm. And Vicky asks what's wrong with dressing like a girl. And then they just hold hands.
Yeah.
It's really sweet.
These two are very sweet.
Yeah. And Vicky ends up getting up in the middle of the night for a snack, and he turns on the TV to an interview with Katrina Kaif. And she says, also, is it true she didn't know Hindi?
I would believe that. Because I've heard other people more in the know say that she's not very good at it.
Okay. Great. Guess what? Us white ladies who don't speak Hindi, well, you speak Hindi. Well, you know. More than I do.
Yeah. Us who have no real solid foundation to stand on.
Can't tell,
and yeah, love it. Love her.
But in this interview, Katrina says to follow your dream, but also to know that sometimes you have to hide your dream because people won't understand it and will try to discourage you. Mm-hmm. And Vicky then imagines, like, an angelic, literally with wings, Katrina Kaif appearing to him and telling him that if he believes in his dreams, they will come true. The next day, Vicky tells his sister that he wants to be a dancer when he grows up. But he tells his dad he wants to be a pilot.
Yes, sneaky.
And dad's very impressed by this. And he's like, great. Well, that's why you need to do sports, because you need to be physically fit to be a pilot. And Vicky's like, uh-huh. And when Vicky goes to soccer practice, all he does is watch the dance class.
Yeah.
And we see the dance instructor take notice of him.
Yes.
We then, some backstory, like, Vicky put up a Katrina Kaif poster in their room, and then mm-hmm. their dad saw it and was like, why is that there? And his sister took the fall and said, like,
yes.
I love Katrina Kaif. So their dad ends up giving Vicky's sister a Katrina Kaif doll as a gift because she's not going to be able to go on the trip she wanted to take.
Yeah.
And sister doesn't really care about Katrina Kaif, so no. This gift means nothing to her.
Yeah, it's a metaphorical slap in the face.
Yeah. And this is, like, yeah, the last straw for the sister, who feels like everything now is about Vicky. Like,
yeah.
She's, like, covering for Vicky, and now Vicky even got a Katrina Kaif doll through her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so sweet Vicky then offers her all of the money in his piggy bank. And she gets her piggy bank, and they pool their money together. But they're still 250 rupees short of what's needed. Vicky then asks his sister what her dream is. And she's like, well, you keep me awake, so I can't dream. And he's like, no, like, what do you want to be? And she's like, I don't want to be anything. I just want to travel the world. And yes, Vicky says, oh, so you want to be, like, yeah, a flight attendant. And she's like, no, I want to be a passenger.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of why she was so excited about this trip, because it was going to be one start to see this old thing she hasn't been to before. It was going to start her on that path.
And I just thought that was such an interesting moment, again, with the greater gender role implications here. The fact that Vicky just assumes that the best choice of career for her in that case would be an air hostess, when literally a few scenes earlier, he told his dad he wanted to be a pilot.
So true. Yeah.
I was thinking about Zoya Akhtar and, like, you know, she's a woman writer and director in what is still very much like a man's world. And I felt like maybe she saw some of herself in the sister. Yeah.
I like that read on it. Because I hadn't quite registered, the pilot, flight attendant comparison. Mm-hmm. And then we see Vicky pray to the Katrina doll to help his sister go on this trip. Then, whether it's the next day or a few days later, probably some time has passed, we see their parents leave for a few hours, and Vicky's sister waves them off, and then she immediately goes running off because they have set up a stage, and they've set up, like, a whole thing for people to come and see a show. Because Vicky's going to perform.
Yeah, he is.
And they charge 10 rupees per person to see the show. And they come in, and Vicky prances onto stage in all of his splendor and does the dance, like the Sheila dance.
Yep.
And it is amazing.
So good. So good.
And everyone loves it.
Loves it.
And I love, like, his sister shouts, like, "Go, Vicky!" And you see, like, his two friends who had come to play cricket with him.
Yeah.
They're just having a good time. Like, everyone's having a great time.
Yeah.
And that's where we end.
I was so happy that that's where this ends.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh my gosh, there are adults there. They're going to tell his parents. Yeah. He's going to get in trouble. I was getting so worried. And then it was just like, no, we just ended with joy. Amazing.
Yeah. That, like, he was able to be who and what he wants to be.
Yeah. Oh, and do it to help his sister. Like, it's beautiful. Loved it.
Those two kids are going places.
They really are. Yeah.
They have each other.
Yeah, super sweet, super warm, and real, too, and sad.
Right.
But also just great.
And also just goes to show, like, what the support of, like, one loved person can do.
Yeah.
It was so good. And it's just also, like, having it be a child of that age, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he's, like, I don't know, maybe eight?
Yeah, I would put him around there. And I can never guess the age of children.
Me neither. What's a child?
Who even knows? But, yeah, you know, around what is a vulnerable age where kids really are, like, experimenting with these kinds of things. And it's just so normal and doesn't necessarily have to have any, indication of how a child might identify in the future, but might. And it just...
Right.
It was a good story to see represented, I felt.
Yeah. I agree. Then we have our final short story, which was directed by Anurag Kashyap. Mm-hmm. And this is the Muraba. Yeah, because you got to end on Amitabh.
Yeah, when you've got Amitabh, you gotta save him for your gotta climax.
Keep him in the chamber. So we start off this one with a little boy running through a crowd to a man named Vijay, telling him that his father is deathly ill and is calling him home.
Yeah,
sorry. My tone is a little... His father doesn't die.
The eels don't get him.
I know we've referenced that before, but it's still good. Vijay hurries home to see his father, who tells him a whole story about Vijay's grandfather being on his deathbed and then asking Vijay's dad to get a jar of honey blessed by his idol, who was Dilip Kumar. And then Vijay's dad's like, I did it. I went. Dilip blessed it. And then my dad lived an extra 6 years thanks to that honey.
Yeah.
So now it's Vijay's turn to go get something blessed, and his father is choosing Amitabh Bachchan.
Like, the most famous guy.
I know. But at least he already does that stuff. He does actually have, like, that additional home where he goes and, like, blesses people.
Oh, well, great. Okay, then maybe that is a little bit easier.
Than, like, Shah Rukh Khan or something.
Yeah.
Get a fan situation.
And I was thinking about fan a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And so his dad gives him a muraba that his mom made in a jar. Mm-hmm. And Vijay sets out because they want Amitabh to take a bite out of it so that then, I don't know, his dad will absorb Amitabh's essence when he eats the rest of it. And Vijay makes it to Mumbai and a taxi drops him off at Amitabh's house. And he goes right up to the guards and he's like, hey, can you just let me in? I'm here to see Amitabh. Casually.
Yep.
But they refuse. And they suggest that Vijay either go to Amitabh's other house, where he gives blessings to his fans, or that he write a letter. Mm-hmm. And the guards end up chasing Vijay off.
Yeah.
And then he finds a food stand and asks the guy running it if he can work there, because this is evidently going to take longer than he thought. And so this guy gives him a job, gives him a place to sleep, and now he's like, he's here. He's settling mm-hmm. in. 2 days before Vijay needs to leave Mumbai, a guard asks for Vijay. They're like, which one of you is Vijay? And of course, mm-hmm. every single man waiting outside Amitabh's house puts their hands up. But Vijay is able to catch the attention of the guard and explain that it is his father's dying wish for Amitabh to take a bite of the muraba. And the guard takes this glass jar. Again, I don't know how long it's been at this point.
Yeah.
But he's like, this looks poisonous. Like,
it really doesn't look good.
We can't just feed Amitabh whatever we want. He's kind of a national treasure.
Yeah, we don't want him to die.
So we have to send it to a lab for testing to make sure it's safe for him to take a bite of. So they do that. And Vijay waits and he waits. And he waits some more, and he's getting very distraught because he's like, my dad is dying.
Yeah.
He then sees a man leave Amitabh's house, and he actually follows that man home and kind of not, he doesn't break in, but he forces his way inside because he's desperate. And he asks this guy how much he'd have to pay for him to get Amitabh to take a bite of the muraba. Mm-hmm. And the guy agrees to help him. And the next day, Vijay gets the muraba back. And is told that Amitabh did take a bite from it. And sure enough, there's a bite missing from it. But then he starts to panic because he's like, I didn't see it. So how do I know it was him and not just some random person? Like, you don't understand. My dad is dying. And then Amitabh overhears this. And he appears and invites Vijay inside the compound and takes a bite in front of Vijay. So he knows for a fact that it was Amitabh.
Good on you, Amitabh.
Seriously, he's great. Vijay then runs for the train. He's fulfilled his mission. And on the ride home, he tells his story to all the people around him. And a man who's sleeping on a bunk, I think just to be a capital J jerk, mm-hmm. because we don't swear on this podcast very much. We do sometimes. Getting a little more lenient, but not tonight. Just, like, picks it up and drops it.
Yeah.
So that it shatters.
What a butthole.
Like, what a butthole. Yeah. And then the muraba gets stepped on.
Yeah.
And Vijay is, like, destroyed.
Yeah, because he did it. He actually did it.
He did. Oh. So before he gets home, he recreates, like, he finds a jar, he finds a muraba, and he recreates the whole thing. And he gets home, and he brings it to his father. And his father knows right away what happened. He's like, okay, so when did the jar break? And Vijay's like, oh my god, it broke on the way home. But, like, I did it. I met Amitabh. Like, I did it. And then his father tells him that when he did the journey for his father, ants had infested the honey.
So gross. So gross. So gross.
And Dilip Kumar refused to lick it. So he also saw Dilip Kumar and was like, oh, no, I'm not doing this. So Vijay's dad did it himself. And he's like, I don't know if it was, like, the ants or the honey that made my dad live an extra 6 years, but, like, Dilip Kumar didn't touch that honey. Yeah. And he finishes by telling Vijay that you never put Maraba in a pickle jar.
Important life lesson.
Yeah. That's the end of that.
That's the end. You know, this one was also sweet, and yeah. I was just thinking about kind of the similarities between this one and the second one, mm-hmm. and just kind of the ultimate message being, like, what matters here is, like, the love you have for your family. Right. And, like, the lengths that you will go to make sure that the people you love are happy. Like,
yes.
Yeah. So it's, yeah, it kind of also sort of has a sweet side to it.
Agreed. And I think I got upset because Vijay was getting really upset and desperate, yeah. and that made me really sad. And so then, yeah, I was feeling some feelings.
I get that.
Yeah. But it is cute. And I do love that, like, we ended on Amitabh.
Yeah.
That which is felt fun. Right.
Yeah.
But before we talk fully about, you know, the anthology as a whole, we got to talk about the end.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Because then there's a song with Bombay Talkies. Mm-hmm. And at first I was writing down everyone.
And then honestly, the list was just too long.
But, like, all of these famous people show up at the end. They're just dancing. We have Amir Khan. We have Juhi Chawla, Saif Ali Khan, Charisma Kapoor, Priyanka Chopra Jonas.
Yeah, baby.
To Desi Girl.
Yep, loved that. I loved the little, like, nods.
Yes. Farhan Akhtar.
Yep.
I screamed for both him and Priyanka. Ranveer. At that point, I was just like, I'm dead. And he had that great mustache.
Fabulous mustache, yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, we see Deepika with Om Shanti Om. Mm-hmm. And, like, there were a lot more, but also Anil Kapoor was there.
Yep.
And Shahid Kapoor was there. Mm-hmm. Ranbir Kapoor shows up.
Sridevi was there, too.
Sridevi was there. Then, this was already a good time. Yeah. This was a good time. I was like, what is happening? I am delighted and overjoyed. And then.
And then the music slows.
I screamed, like, actually screamed, because Shahrukh flipping Khan shows up, and I literally wrote in my notes in all caps, I was like, shut up, Shahrukh, are you kidding me? And then the DDLJ theme song happens, so then I just started sobbing. It just happens. My body just reacts this way now.
Yep,
I'm just
there's,
like,
no control over it.
Can't process all the emotions in my body.
All the joy you feel at this, the presence of this man on screen.
So it's just escaping my eyes in the form of tears. Yeah. And then I was just like, well, where the F is Kajol?
Oh.
Why wasn't she there?
Maybe she was sick that day.
Oh, God. I don't know. It was a lot. It was, I'm like, my heart rate's gone up just talking about it, thinking about it. It's a lot. I love Shahrukh so much.
I do too. I just loved the, like, reverence with yes. which the number, like, was like, and here he is.
Yes.
Shahrukh Khan. And I like the framing of this number with, there's, like, this young guy who's, like, all excited to go to the movies, and then here are all these mm-hmm. stars in front of him, and there was something so magical about that, and it was delightful. It's, like, sappy and cheesy, and I loved every minute of it.
I did too. But yeah, I think anthology as a whole,
mm-hmm.
I am glad that we started with, like, the heaviest.
The first one just feels out of place to me yeah. with the others. You know, yeah. it has kind of the least to do with film.
Right. It's like, I think the main connection is that the newspaper is like a Bollywood newspaper yeah. and like the Sridevi thing.
Yeah. And like the Dave's like love of like film soundtrack and
yeah,
music.
Right.
So
right.
It's there are these kind of loose ties to it, but not the rest of them are just so clearly connected.
Yeah. It had a different tone. I agree. It didn't yeah. have the same connection. Yeah.
And from a sort of heaviness standpoint, I do agree that it was kind of nice to sort of have that at the beginning, and then the rest yes. of them are a little more lighthearted. But from a cohesiveness standpoint, I feel like maybe it would have been better served if it had fallen later in the lineup.
Yeah.
So or that, like, it would have maybe felt more mm-hmm. like it belonged. But I don't know if that's true. Or maybe, like, I would have.
Yeah, do you
that,
start
maybe that
with,
wouldn't have helped.
Do you start with Star and then you have the first one you slotted in as second instead, so that you get the juxtaposition of, like, these two grown men mm-hmm. going through their journeys of at least one of them being openly gay and the other one, you know, whatever, wherever he falls on the sexual spectrum. But then you have it with, okay, now we see a young boy who, again, very well, you know, could be heterosexual. That doesn't really play into it. But
right.
seeing that he at least has someone in his life at a young age who's giving him the space to explore that.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of like, okay, this is like showing us two sides of what could be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. That is potentially like could have been one solution, but it also could be the case that if that had happened, we would have felt the exact same way.
Exactly.
So who even knows? I did want to share a quote from another review that I read by Anupama Chopra, who I'm just coming to really enjoy and appreciate.
Has she read other, I mean, written other books that we should?
I think she has. I'll have to look into that. But she said of the film that it's an evocative essay on our love affair with the movies, and then later says, the four shorts in Bombay Talkies depict the degree to which movies permeate our lives, how a film song becomes a melancholy lament for a life half lived, how stars consume us and fill us with magic.
Hmm.
And I just thought that was such a beautiful kind of summary of the way that it all comes together.
It's very poetic.
Yes.
I like that.
Yeah, me too. Mm. Any other final thoughts to share?
I don't think so. What about you?
I don't think so either. Are you ready for research?
Yes. What'd you research?
I'm excited about my research for this week because, so, and I was glad that this movie ended up having two different chunks that kind of fall under the LGBTQ umbrella.
Yes.
Of course, like you said, we can't assume anything about Vicky's sexuality, but we can, I think there's indication that he wants to experiment with his gender identity, which is, mm-hmm. is great. But so based on his performance, I decided to research drag in India.
Yes.
I thought you'd be excited about that.
Oh my God, I love this. Okay, bring it on.
And I think maybe intentionally, I definitely steered this more in a positive direction because it certainly could have gone more in a negative direction. But
I think it's important to focus on like the good things too.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's kind of celebrate some performers here. So the National Center for Trans Equity, or NCTE, defines drag as, quote, a type of entertainment where people dress up and perform, often in highly stylized ways. The term is thought to have originated as British theater slang in the 19th century, and most commonly referred to men dressing up as women.
Mm-hmm.
However, the NCTE goes on to say that people of any gender can be drag queens. As a part of their performance, many drag queens have a separate drag persona in addition to the self they live as every day. This persona will, of course, look different, but may also have a different name and asked to be referred to by different gendered pronouns.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a little background for anybody who wanted some.
Appreciate that.
An article by Bharat Sharma expands on this, saying that by blurring the heteronormative lines of gender identity and expression, drag queens are reinforcing the key theme of the LGBTQIA+ equality movement, that there is no one right way to be yourself.
Mm.
And while drag started with the impersonation of women, it has now become a gender-neutral performance and in some ways is against gender norms altogether by just saying anybody can show up however they want to show up.
Yes.
Every article that I read about drag in India, in some place in it, referenced the fact that cross-dressing, and specifically men dressing up as women, has been a part of Indian artistic expression for centuries.
Mm-hmm.
An article by Sayantan Datta for LGBTQ Nation gives the example of classical dance forms like Kuchipudi and Kathakali, which were performed only by men, with men taking on both masculine and feminine roles as needed.
Okay.
And I'm sure if I had asked you to guess when this largely, fell out of cultural tradition, you would assume correctly that it was with the rise of British colonialism and
Boo.
That sexual repression that those folks brought in. Thanks, guys.
Oh, God. It always comes back to sexual repression among the British.
And colonialism. It really does.
Boo.
What has been emerging in India for the last decade or so is what some refer to as, quote, neo-drag, which is more of what we think of when we think of, like, American drag culture and ballroom culture and RuPaul's Drag Race. You know, that is now what's been coming out, so to speak, in India in the last decade. Mm-hmm. One of the big pushes towards the rise in popularity of drag in India comes from Keshav Suri, who is a hotelier who was one of the six people who sued to legalize homosexuality a few years ago. So if you remember last year during Pride, we learned about this and how this eventually led to the Supreme Court ruling that consensual homosexual activity is not punishable by under the law.
Good.
But so this Suri was one of the voices behind this, and he is the executive director of Lalit Suri Hospitality Group, which has opened numerous nightclubs across India where drag shows have become commonplace. But these shows have been criticized by some in the drag community as being sort of by the elite for the elite. So, you know, not necessarily representing the full spectrum of what drag is, can be, should be. A drag performer who I'm not totally sure what their last name is because my notes app changed it, but their last name is Sastry, calls the performances that are happening in these spaces safe. And that and criticizes them for avoiding raising critical questions about the political or social concerns of gender and sexually marginalized people in India.
Okay.
And in a different article, I learned that Sastry creates educational and storytelling workshops for kids, which teach about good touch and bad touch through story recitals and songs. So this is the kind of using art to create a better world that Sastry is talking about and feeling like isn't always happening in some of these bigger, currently more popular drag performances.
Right. Okay.
But there's certainly a lot of good that's happening there too, just that representation.
Yeah.
Seems like it's a positive thing to be happening.
Great.
I then read an article by Jishnu Bandyopadhyay, which profiled several star drag queens from across India, one of whom was Glorious Luna, who found their way to drag as they were questioning their identity as a non-binary person, and says that they, quote, perform for that child in me who never had someone to look up to. Aww. They say they do it for all of the kids who are growing up in a heteronormative world and are feeling othered.
See, yeah, it's like, once you get those brave people who are like the first ones to just say, I'm going to live out loud, then the kids who are also having those feelings have people to look up to. And then
exactly. This is representation.
It matters. It's great. And it's beautiful. And it just made me think of how sad it is that then there's like people in the world who view that as like, oh, it's spreading, and not there have always been this number of people who felt this way, and they just,
they just want to be able to
express it.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it's not actually, numbers are not increasing. It's just
people are actually able to be who they are. Yep, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
So for performer Lush Monsoon, which is an excellent drag name.
That's really good.
Lush Monsoon, who by day.
Because it's like a little bit naughty, but also
it is, it's like,
but
just
you can't say it's naughty.
No, right. But it's like, it's only when you like say the words out loud that you're like, oh.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Anyway, Lush Monsoon, who is by day a human rights lawyer named Ayushman.
That's incredible.
I know, right?
Can I follow them on Instagram?
I didn't see if they have an Instagram, but you should definitely look it up. But so Lush Monsoon says that drag is all about, quote, saying no to the rules which society has set for you. She says it's difficult with the growing number of performers for drag queens to live off of their performances, and says that drag needs to become more than just a subculture so queens can benefit monetarily as any artist does from their art form.
Yes.
And then we get to Beta Nonstop, which is also a very fun, punny name for a drag queen. And Beta talks about how she came by her drag persona because she was a dancer. Beta's birth name is Pratik. And Pratik, is a masculine presenting person, but isn't super masculine in his dance style. And so wasn't really sure where he fit in. And so then discovered drag and the persona of Beta Nonstop and never looked back.
Great.
In a video interview for India Today, Beta expanded on some helpful clarifications for anyone who is learning more about drag, that drag is a performance and isn't necessarily indicative of an identity, the way that someone who identifies as being gay or trans would be. And yet people often apply the same harmful stereotypes to drag queens as they do to trans people, like the fact that, like, they think that all trans people are sex workers. And obviously, those stereotypes are harmful for trans people, too, of course.
Yeah.
And it's also harmful and just...
So wait, sorry, people think drag queens are sex workers?
People think that drag queens are trans people and that trans people are sex workers.
Right. Okay. Well...
None of which is correct.
No.
It's just several layers of incorrect information.
Yes. Okay.
And this confusion, the confusion of drag people with trans people who perform in drag and trans people is also harmful to trans people in the sense that drag is dressing up. Drag is putting on a performance. Being trans is not. Being trans is
who
you are.
Yeah.
And so that, again, is so that that stereotype is harmful in both directions. And again, also just incorrect.
Yeah.
Beta describes herself as being Pratik. Polar opposite, and says that drag can be like therapy and that it allows you to express yourself in ways that you wouldn't ordinarily be able to do. And I also think it's really cool, Beta is talking in this video interview about how her sister was like a really influential person for them and a really supportive person and was like the first person to give her makeup to, like, you know, experiment with.
Great.
And it just made me think of the movie.
Vicky. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, honestly, having just one person in your corner can really go such a long way.
Absolutely. Yeah. And start to help you find more people who are.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, of course, the LGBTQ community is still fighting for basic rights in India, as in so many other places across the globe, including the right to marry. Drag performer Hash Brownie discusses in the Sharma article that I mentioned earlier how dressing up has often been equated to sexual fetishization, which in turn wrongfully labels drag performers as groomers, which is kind of like what you were saying before, this idea that if kids are close to drag queens, they're it's going to like rub off on them and they're being sexually groomed in some kind of way, which again, absolutely completely incorrect.
Yeah.
And Beta calls this a distraction from real political issues, which sounds very familiar just thinking about all of the persecution against drag queens that's happening now in the US and
exactly
just how ridiculous it all is.
Yeah.
And Beta also says that because of a lack of support generally across India for the LGBTQ community, politicians aren't really catering to that community to try and get their vote. Even so, she believes that they're on the right path, and to drag naysayers says, "We know you're interested, we know you're watching, instead of being hateful, come join us for a good time."
Oh, what a great response.
I know.
And so true. You know how hard it is to be grumpy at a drag show?
Seriously. I dare you to try.
It's just a good time.
It really is,
If anyone was curious, Lush Monsoon does have an Instagram.
Excellent. Do you now follow her?
I do.
Excellent.
Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, yeah, it's just nice to hear about specific people who are out there, like, doing great things.
Yeah. Putting on great shows, it sounds like.
And I just hope things get better and not worse
Yeah. Wow.
That's my hope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have several pieces of Bollywood news.
Wow. Okay, great. I have zero, so go for it.
Great. I'll try to move through these quickly because they're not, you know, just fun stuff.
Uh-huh.
First of all, India won big at the Cannes Film Festival. I'm never totally sure how to... Is it Cannes? Is it Cannes?
Well, you're the one that speaks French. I don't know.
My French is as good as my Hindi. but everyone knows what I'm talking about. So Anasuya Sengupta became the first Indian woman to win Best Actress for her performance in The Shameless. Mm. And Payal Kapadia became the first Indian woman director to win the Grand Prix for her film All We Imagine as Light.
Oh.
And there were even a couple other, like there was a short film and I think maybe a documentary film that also were like first big wins for India. So they just like cleaned up as a country.
That's amazing.
Kudos. Way to go, guys.
Yeah.
Way to go, ladies.
Specifically, yes.
So that was fun to see. And Kajol also released a glimpse of an upcoming film that she will be in called Maharagni, Queen of Queens.
Oh, she is a queen of queens.
She really is. And it looked to me like she was playing a similar character to her character in Dilwale.
Good. That's like, exactly what I pictured.
Yeah, like a fighty mob boss lady.
Love that for her.
With a big gun.
Oh, she's great.
Yeah. So that looked fun. Lastly, Matic Films, the production company behind Stree and Badia, released the trailer for their new horror comedy, Munjia.
Okay.
Which is coming out on June 7th, very soon. And hopefully, because it's coming out so soon, will be available for us to stream for spooky season.
October!
Yay!
Yeah, because we all know I can't handle real horror. So.
Right, yes. So horror comedy it is.
Yes.
Yeah, it looked good. It looked creepy. It was like a freaky, like, golem-looking person running around.
Okay, yeah. I was going to be like, what kind of thing are we talking? Are we talking like a mummy, a vampire?
It looks sort of like a mummy monster, like... Okay. I just say that because it sort of looked like the mummy from The Mummy. Yes. I don't think it's actually a mummy, but just in appearance.
Okay, that's helpful for me to start to accept.
Yes, yeah. And it looked like the monster's just kind of, it's not like a ghost, like, ooh, it's creeping up. It's like, no, this thing's just like there in your face, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool. Looking forward to all the stuff.
Yes, lots of fun things on the horizon.
Yeah. So, pluggables.
Mm-hmm.
Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Two White Girls Talk Bollywood. Do whatever you want to do there. Do what you do normally on those platforms, whatever that may be.
Whatever that means to you.
Exactly. And also consider subscribing to us on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. You can also leave a rating or a review on that podcast platform. But whatever you choose to do or not do, we appreciate you for listening.
Indeed we do. And join us as well on YouTube and Spotify, where we keep our Bollywood bangers playlists and add favorite songs from the movies that we watch to those playlists. And we link them in our episode descriptions as well as in our Instagram posts on Tuesdays. And that's a fun time.
Yeah.
So we'll see you there.
Yes.
So next, since we're taking our 2-week break, as we mentioned last week.
Yes. So we will not have an episode coming out on the 11th or the 18th. Our next episode will be released on June 25th.
Yes, it will. And wanting to bring in some pride, some LGBTQ+ representation, we are going to be watching Kattal, which is another Malayalam language film.
Yes.
That we know very little about, other than the two things that I know about it are, one, that it stars Mammootty, who is Dulquer Salman's dad.
Yeah.
And two, that he plays a gay man.
Yes.
And that's all we got.
That's enough for us.
That's enough. I don't feel like I need to know anything more to go into this.
Nope. Let's do it. We've been talking about it for a while, so I'm excited mm-hmm. that we're finally going to watch some Mammootty.
Yeah, I feel like an unexpected twist of this year's film choices has been watching movies that star actors who we already love, very famous dads.
Yes. Yeah. Very true. I don't mind it.
Definitely not. So on IMDb, our plot description is Matthew, a retired bank secretary, reluctantly enters politics for a by-election. The movie delves into their marriage dynamics, justice, and personal fulfillment amidst a tight-knit village community.
Mmm.
Sounds intriguing.
That does sound intriguing. Catal is available to watch on Amazon Prime. And... Mm-hmm. As is typical, like, the synopsis on Amazon Prime is kind of the same, but also just adds some more words. So,
okay, great.
I'll go ahead and read it. Catal the Core unveils the captivating narrative of Matthew Devasi and Omana, a seemingly harmonious couple residing in the serene village of Tikoi in Kottayam district. Oh, period. There should be a period there. Catal is a poignant exploration of the intricate dynamics of a marriage, comma, the pursuit of justice, and the quest of her personal fulfillment set against the backdrop of a close-knit community, which might have been, like, exactly what you said, but...
It was similar, but there were definitely some more words added to
and less punctuation.
Yeah.
But that sounds really good. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot to unpack and enjoy from this one.
It's so short.
It's short? I didn't see it.
It's an hour and 52 minutes.
Whoa, it's under 2 hours? That's wild.
I know. Yeah, again, that'll be coming out on June 25th. We're going to enjoy our two-week break. I hope that you listeners do as well.
Yeah, we'll miss you.
Yep. Hopefully you miss us. Or else we're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
But until next time, remember... Bollywood doesn't need us.
No.
But we need Bollywood.
We certainly do. Mm-hmm. I really wanted to say Bollywood Talkies again, but that's not what this movie's called.
So close.